Alrighty. Okay. So, welcome to the Double Down Wrestling Podcast with KJ. And we have Mike the Ref here. Hello, Mike the Ref.
Woohoo! Hey, I'm here. I'm back. I'm on. Somebody actually dragged me out to do one. I can't believe it.
And if anybody doesn't know, this is where we talk about women's wrestling. Two of our favorite things in the entire world, right?
Yes, I'll definitely agree with that.
Women and wrestling combined into one.
Oh, this is either going to be an awesome podcast or it's going to go off the rails really quick. One or the other.
It's already there.
Either way, it's going to be great.
Anyways, Mike, okay, why don't you just give us a quick intro into what you do with your life?
Well, I'm the boss here at Backbreaker Media. I run video editing for CWC and MPW, and the general manager for the Monster Pro Wrestling promotion. And I think they gave a very important wrestler a start here in the Fantastic.
Who?
I'm not sure.
That would be me if you didn't know. My name is KJ. I am a pro wrestler. If you didn't know that already, you do now. And Mike the Ref actually gave me my start, essentially. Put me over all the time.
Yes, I know, so many compliments, but that's not what we're here for tonight. We're here to talk women's wrestling.
Yes, we're here to talk women's wrestling. So basically, with this podcast, I kind of just want to talk about what's going on in the world of WWE with the women. Maybe, who knows, later on we'll bring in Impact or ROH.
Oh,
but for now, it's WWE.
Definitely future episodes are bringing in some stories on some other promotions.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Especially with recent happenings that I just saw on the social medias today. But yeah, so for today, I kind of want to start by talking about the Mayan Classic and just talking about everything that's kind of happening. We don't have the bracket yet, which is why I kind of wanted to talk about it first so we can kind of give our initial thoughts before we get spoiled too much, which I feel like you already spoiled yourself, didn't you?
I've done my best to stay away from the spoilers because
Indeed, I
knew we were going to record this. I heard a couple things that have come down, and those are the things that got spoiled via WWE.
Yeah.
There's one thing I want to bring up, though. Speaking of spoilers.
Spoilers.
Did you read up the article about the reporter for the Wrestling Observer newsletter who got told either don't spoil it or you get kicked out of the Mae Young Classic?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I saw something about that. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy's name is J.J. Williams. He's done a hell of a job covering everything that goes on at Full Sail. But apparently he reported that he got pulled to the side and told, since he's part of a dirt sheet that's reputable, WWE does not want any results posted or finishes. And he's basically frustrated because he's supported for so long and taken all these videos.
I'm super torn because I feel like people would want to be spoiled. But at the same time, I think it's one thing to post videos and pictures and et cetera, et cetera. And it's another thing to post results. I think it's fine, in my personal opinion, if somebody wants to spoil themselves with the results, that's fine. But I don't think they should post videos, for sure. Like, don't post video. Like, go and watch the matches themselves when they're in full on the network or whatever. But, like, just don't post video. That's where I would draw the line. No video.
For me, personally, like, right now I work with my own video-on-demand service, so
yeah.
I get where they're coming from. When it comes to something like the Mae Young Classic, day two is complete spoilers of day one.
Because exactly.
If anybody's wrestling on day two, they obviously won in the first day.
Yes.
So I can see where they don't want anything going out. At the same time, we're in the world of social media, so we know stuff is going to get out regardless here.
Well, they have a live audience, so it can be just some random fan that just is like, oh, hey, by the way, blah, 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 won today.
Now, the only way you could do this to make it successful, and I don't think WWE would ever do it, is do it the way Lucha Underground does it. If you're a fan in that crowd, you have to sign a waiver saying that you're not allowed to say Jack Poo. I don't know what kind of rating you want on
Jack
Poo. I don't know what kind of rating you want on your podcast, so I'll put it that way.
Well, I'm notorious for swearing, so
I'll let you get the first one in, then I can let loose.
Okay.
They're not going to let... You're not allowed to let anything out or you get sued. And I don't think anybody wants to get sued for giving out a spoiler, so...
See, I like the way if they did that, I would be totally fine with it.
But at the same time, we got some great competitors in that tournament, so...
Yes, okay, so leading into it... So, I just wanted to know, when you saw the list of competitors, I noticed you have it. I have it in front of me, too, so we're all good. When you saw the names, the final list, who were you most excited to see? Because I was thinking about this morning.
Well, there's so many different dichotomies here of wrestlers that you're going to have in there. You have your established stars. Well, you know that Toni Storm's been signed. You got Io Shirai, who... They've been dying to get in there for a while, but she failed her medical for last year, so she couldn't make it in.
She's not the one that broke her foot. Foot?
That's actually Tegan Knox.
Spoilers, that's the only spoiler I've seen, that she broke it in here.
She broke her ankle before, last year.
No, I thought it was her ACL, wasn't it?
And this year, at the Mae Young Classic, she actually wrecked her ACL.
That was this year, then.
So, it's a spoiler slash not a spoiler, because she got injured twice now. So,
poor girl.
Be careful when you see her in there. I'll tell you right now, she doesn't win. So, but
yeah, that's the only spoiler I've really kind of seen, because it was all over my Twitter feed when I opened it. I was like, oh, for God's sakes. I feel bad for the girl.
Then you look at the alumni pick of Caitlin into this.
Throws a wrench into it.
I wonder what she's going to be able to... do at this point. I know she's in fantastic shape, but...
Well, and she's had some indie matches, I notice, as well, because I follow her on, Twitter or whatever, and I saw she's, over the last, few months, she's had quite a few appearances, and she's been, training, so I think the ring rest, it might still be there in regards to, maybe technique. She was always strong, anyway. She was never a huge technician. She was always, the strength that was her game, but we'll see. I'm interested. She seems like she's... might put on a show, but at the same time, I don't think she needs to go past a certain point. I think that she's just going to go to the main roster after anyways. If she stays, of course.
Quite possibly. Who are you looking at in particular?
Okay, one person that I don't think they're going to win, but I was super excited to see their name / surprised, was Sienna from Impact, but now she's just going by Allison Kay, I think, for this tournament.
That was actually her former name, TNA... Impact. Well, we might get into that into a future episode itself, but they gave her the name Sienna for their promotion.
Yeah.
In Shine, she was Allison Kay, and all her indie shows, she was known as Allison Kay. And I am over the moon with the fact that she was 7 months ago. She was actually clinging to life in a hospital bed.
She was, because that's why she did. She lose the title already when she had that incident. Or she was going to get her rematch, I think.
She actually lost the title, right?
She was about to get a rematch.
Okay. Lose the title. She was going to get rematches, and injuries came up, and then she got her release. It looked rather weird that she got her release from Impact, but now obviously we know why.
Yeah, I guess I was just super excited to see her because I think she's entertaining as hell. She's so entertaining. So when I saw her name on the list, I was a little surprised because I didn't think that she would be somebody that they might look at. Although she's got a total package deal, I think, in my opinion. So we'll see. I'm interested to see who they put her against.
Well, she is classy AF.
I love her. Oh, she's just so I get so excited when I see her because she's just so entertaining. And she kind of got me back into watching Impact when she was doing all that stuff with, Allie, and I started watching because it was just so entertaining, but...
It was interesting, to say the least, but...
Yeah.
Who else do you have on your list?
So, just that I'm kind of intrigued to see, so she's going by Ashley Rain, I believe, so Madison Rain. Yes. She's going by Ashley Rain, though, in NXT, or Mae Young, whatever. I'm just intrigued because I didn't think that she would ever be in that position. I thought she would have stuck with, Impact and ROH, et cetera, but she is a good wrestler, so hopefully they give her that opportunity to showcase it in the right way.
Absolutely.
And then any of the girls kind of from Japan and China. I don't really know them that well, but, I've kind of heard their names floating around, so I'm really excited to see them, especially because they've been in the game for so long.
Well, you take two, Hiroo Matsumoto and Miko Satomura. They are both legends in the Stardom promotions and... throughout Japan.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what they have in the ring. They are they're veterans, but at the same time, they can still go.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're putting on, like, what, 5-star matches, I think I saw one of them have, like, a few months ago, maybe?
Well, you...
Or 6-star, whatever the hell they get over there in Japan.
Meltzer's probably giving up 36.8 stars in some of these matches here, so we'll see at this point. But speaking to which, how about the ROH influence in this tournament?
A lot of ROH, yeah. I was, I'm not really hugely familiar with a lot of them. Well, just kind of like the ones like Deonna, oh my God, I can never say her name.
Deonna Purrazzo?
Yes. I just like stumble over her name every time I go to say it. But I've seen some of her matches, like especially with Tennille, and I can't remember what her last match was. Maybe, was it Britt Baker in ROH? But regardless, I was watching a few of them and love her. I'm excited to see what she can do with some of these girls, especially from Japan and whatever. If she gets there, of course.
Well, it's big that she got into this, and also with the fact that they're picking up all these wrestlers so that now that ROH has their own certified women's division,
yeah.
Is this going to be a one-time deal? Are they going to sign contracts? Are they going to be able to go back to ROH? With Triple H in charge now, there's been a lot more of a working relationship with a lot of companies.
That's true, and I feel like because he's doing it so smart, I feel like, because these are some women that have, like, they've had really big names in the independents, in even in just, like, the last year, and then in, like, promotions in Japan and stuff, but you need the best, especially with this whole, like, ushering in this, like, women's wrestling, like, legit wrestling, like, I feel like you have to bring that in if they're booked right, but lately, coming to the main roster and not getting booked correctly. Or well, at all.
We might have to get to that in another episode. Or yeah. Even later in this one. But
just before we get to the next thing. With the whole UK brand as well for NXT. I think that's why. Because we're going to be talking about who we think will get there. I think Toni Storm is going to have a huge showing. Because I think that she's going to be the face of the women's division in the UK brand. Well, hands down, now that she's signed, like, definitely.
Also, you got Ginny, and you also have Killer Kelly there will be a big part of that promotion. And then don't forget, it's always an advantage to be an alumni of one of the trainers at the center in Zaya Brookside.
That'll be interesting, because she's so young, but she's been doing this for a while, right? So
there are some matches out there with Zaya out there that... will absolutely floor you with the talent that she has. May I recommend a match from what wrestling down east in the Massachusetts area against another competitor and, of course, my personal favorite in the tournament, Rachel Ellering.
So is she your pick?
You know what? Based on when she was signed, I know this might shock a lot of people that know me, but no.
Okay.
I honestly think that someone like Rachel might be put into that Tessa Blanchard spot of last year, where she ends up putting a good show on for one of the top favorites, especially maybe one out of Japan, because she has been working with a lot of Japan workers. She's currently out in Stardom, starting the 5-star Classic this weekend, but that's a different story for another podcast.
Okay, so who do you think will be, who do you want to see in the final two?
Well, I'm thinking of it this way. When we're coming down to... we're dealing with new brands right now. We're dealing with the NXT UK. They're trying to make a big push into Japan, into Europe. I could easily see that they wanted to put Io Shirai in that final last year. So I could see them having her here this year. And the other one could be a crapshoot. I got a feeling it's got to be somebody out of that UK brand. Whether that be Ginny, whether that be Brookside. I don't think Brookside would do it just because she's so young. But
yeah.
Toni Storm, of course, is the first one that probably pops to everybody's mind.
Well, she's my number one pick. Like, I think she's gonna win it. I have a feeling that she's gonna win it, but I think she's gonna be up there just because of the UK brand thing. And the fact that, like I said, I think she's gonna be the face of that women's division. Especially since I think Triple H said they're going to put a title in there as well. Like a woman's title.
Quite possibly. I don't think they're going to announce that for another month or so yet to actually confirm it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Triple H is putting out a lot of feelers with a lot of fans to see what...
they want.
Because you got till October 28th to actually figure out what you're going to do with it, right?
True, yeah. Especially when it comes to that, but I think it's, once they develop it, they've got to go further, but yeah, Tony's definitely up there, and then especially when they're trying to bring in these girls from Japan and China, it's got to be one of them. I don't know which one, I don't really have, like, a standout right now, but I think it's got to be one of them. I don't see another girl, well, actually, Sane won it, and she's from Japan, right? Yeah. So yeah, so she won it, but right now they have an American champ. So, for, like, the NXT Women's title, like, they have a... oh, my God. Stumbling over my words. They have an American. So, I don't think an American's going to win this whole tournament.
But coming up this Saturday, we might have a Japanese winner.
True. That's true. We'll get to that later.
Now, out of everybody that's in here, who do you think is going to surprise people in this tournament?
Brookside. I definitely think, because I think she's, I don't think not enough people know her, like, know her style, know her abilities. I think she's going to surprise people if they let her go far enough. And I also think, let me just quickly see here.
Well, while you're looking, I'll give mine.
Okay.
And it's a shout out to Canadian content.
Oh.
The two that I'd like to bring up, Vanessa Craven.
Okay.
A mountain of a woman, like, you've seen Allison Kay.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Allison Kay and Vanessa Craven have done wars all over North America and go toe-to-toe with each other. I want to see what she does. And then, of course, out of Vancouver and ECCW, you got Nicole Matthews.
Yes, I was literally just looking at her name. Vet. Yeah. What a vet.
Like, she was one of the alternates for last year's Mae Young Classic. And I honestly feel that she is talented enough to actually be on the full-time roster right now.
Like the main roster.
Yeah. She,
okay.
In Shimmer, she is known as the Shimmer Taker.
Oh, geez. Like, okay.
That kind of respect is very hard to earn in the wrestling business, so.
Well, it's like when you've got, like, people, I'm just going to drop Bayley's name. When you got people like Bayley putting her over above a lot of other people, you probably know that she's a pretty good wrestler. So, I don't know if she's going to win it, but I hope they give her, like, a good platform.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope they give her a good platform.
You know what? It really doesn't matter who wins it. It's also my theory, like, when it comes to spoilers, I don't like them, but at the same time, as long as I get a good match, I really don't care if something gets spoiled on me.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If I go back to thinking, I know you weren't even thought of yet, but going back in history, back to the Raw, where WCW announced that Mick Foley was going to win the title.
Okay.
The change, everybody changed the channel to watch Mick Foley win it, and just, everybody knew it was going to happen. They just wanted to see how. And it turned out to be a hell of a segment, so.
Well, I mean, sometimes spoilers can work, and that's why I said before that, that's why I don't think video should be allowed. Yeah. Maybe spoil, like, obviously who wins and stuff, like, okay, I get it, you need to make a living off of your dirt sheets or whatever you got to do, but that's why I don't think no pictures, no video. That's where I draw the line. I'm like, yeah, no pictures, no video, because, yeah, these are the things that, like, especially with Tessa Blanchard, people were so surprised by her because not a lot of people knew who she was before the Mae Young, and it kind of gave her that platform, and even though obviously she didn't make it past the second round or whatever, I think, correct?
Tessa,
she had two matches?
No, Tessa lost in the first round to Kairi Sane.
Did she? For some reason, I thought she made it two rounds.
That's where I was mentioning about the, I hope Rachel gets that spot where she shines up somebody who is going to be an absolute star in the future here, so.
Well, yeah, that's like what you said, where it's like as long as they have a good match, that's really all that matters, mm-hmm. in my opinion, but,
well,
yeah.
Let's hope that you guys can send us feedback here as well. We're just in the process of setting up Twitter and all that. You can send in your tweets to Backbreaker Medi, because we are Canadians, so we don't need the A on the end. So,
yeah.
Yeah, send us some tweets. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, initial predictions. Don't look at the brackets yet. We haven't looked yet. Once we see the bracket, maybe I'll change my mind. But right now, this is my initials.
For anybody that's looking out for it, we're... it's August 29th is the Bracketology will be released, and then the episodes are going to be released on the 3rd of September, I do believe, which is it'll be the 5th, I do believe, right after Wednesday NXT. check out WWE.com for details. There's your default.
There's your push. Yeah, it's because the finals are at Evolution, which is what I wanted to talk about leading up. Because so the finals will be at the pay-per-view Evolution. So that's like the all women's pay-per-view. If you didn't know that, it's October 28th in New Jersey. Correct?
At the Nassau County Coliseum.
Yes.
The old home of the New York Islanders.
There we go, right? And I'm trying to get, like, some tickets. I want to go down. I think tickets go on sale. Is it this week?
I think so.
Yeah, I want to see what they are, if I can go down, because I feel like that's something I need to see in person. But anyways, so Evolution. I wanted to talk about that real quick, because, like I just said, the Mayon Classic, the finals, are there. So what are your thoughts on that pay-per-view? Like, do you have a specific match that you do want to see?
Well, I don't know whether they're going to have this as a timeline pay-per-view or not.
Yeah.
Probably will, because the writers aren't that smart to come off of the one-off. But
yes.
What I wouldn't mind seeing is the Becky Charlotte versus the Sasha Bailey tag match.
Oh, so a tag team match.
I could see them going four ways, but look at how currently they're working as a tag team.
And that's kind of what I had in my brain, because they keep emphasizing teams. And that's where I'm thinking, I don't know if they'll like legit bring these titles in that they keep talking about. But that's something I would want to see, because I don't know how they would make it a four-way. So I think a tag team match with them would be great. It would be a great match, don't get me wrong. I keep thinking the whole four horsewoman thing, but I don't know how they would get there. That's my point, yeah.
Hey, Booker hat. I got a Booker hat right now. Go with me on this.
Okay, let's hear
it. Early predictions here, folks. I need to find some, like, you know, headline music.
Well, and this is why I wanted to talk about it before SummerSlam, because I feel like after SummerSlam, depending on who wins the titles, et cetera, and what they're doing, I feel like that would give us a little bit more of a direction. So that's why I wanted to talk about this now, before we possibly have a new champ, maybe in Ronda or Becky or Charlotte.
Well, what I'm thinking here is this tag match that we're talking about gets ruined by the four horsewomen of the MMA.
The MMA, okay.
Now, that the next pay-per-view following Evolution is
Survivor Series. Yeah.
And there you go. It writes itself, which scares me, because I'm sorry, I have an affinity against the writers at WWE, because they don't know how to book themselves out of a paper bag sometimes.
Gosh. But I feel like, okay, if they're doing Evolution, they are doing Evolution, obviously, but if they're not going to... See, I don't know if they're going to do necessarily storyline stuff, like longevity, I mean, because you know when they did... Oh my gosh, what was the one that was just in India? Was it India?
Oh, the Greatest Royal Rumble?
Yes, Greatest Royal Rumble. I don't know why I drew a blank. But a lot of those matches, they had nothing to do with continuity of titles / storylines. Half of them didn't. They were just pulled out of a hat almost, right?
Well, the biggest thing is, even if you're talking about the Super Showdown going down
in Australia.
In Australia in October. Yeah. The matches that they've announced, they're totally going to be non-canon.
It's just random matches, well, yeah.
Because you got John Cena, Kevin Owens just announced earlier
just randomly,
today. And then you have Undertaker, Triple H. I think they're going to put enough in... The difference between those and the one that we're coming up with Evolution is the fact that they are... this one's in North America.
Yes.
And it's in front of a North American audience, and I think they're just going to have everything roll into one here.
I think it will have a lot to do with continuity, because I don't think they have another pay-per-view that month.
No, they don't.
Yeah, so I think it's just... unless they pull something out of their hat, and this is where I kind of wrote down... my dog is back.
Extra members of the podcast here.
Oh, hi, buddy. Hi. Anyways, so... go see.
There's
his input. There's his input. He doesn't want to hear it. Anyways, no, with the whole past champions coming in, because I think they'll bring in somebody, but I don't know if, like, for example, it's been rumored Trish and Lita are going to come back for a tag match. And that's why everybody's like, oh, Bailey Sasha. I'm like, well, I feel like if they're going to come back, they kind of need to be with a team that they might beat. You know what I mean? And, like, if they beat Bailey Sasha, what the hell are Bailey Sasha going to do after that? So, I feel like they will face a team like Mandy Rose and Sonya.
Honestly,
something random. Or the Iconics. I feel like that would be hilarious.
I honestly think it's going to be more of a Mickie James Trish Stratus match up there. I don't think they're
going to... Oh, interesting. So one-on-one.
Yeah, they're going to relive those classic matches, and hopefully they can get away from the WrestleMania 22 flub that they had.
Mm, well, that was so long ago. That was over 10 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, but crazy wrestling fans remember this stuff.
Well, just by like the reaction they had at Royal Rumble anyways, it's like... Oh, I love it. But what would they do with Lita then?
You could find any match for that's any true. Wrestler matching up, because how many people would want to face Lita in their
exactly match? Exactly.
Just line them up, take them all down.
Whoever gives us the best idea gets to face her.
Well, essentially, you could go as simple as that, or you could go all over the wall here when it comes to in terms of matchups and whatnot. You could put a multi-person match together. The card is endless. Like.
It really is, and that's why it's like we have no direction right now for it, no predictions really, besides the finals of Mae Young for it.
The only thing we've been guaranteed is that the three titles are going to be on the line.
Okay.
The Raw women's title, the SmackDown women's title, and the NXT women's title, as well as the finals of the Mae Young Classic.
Okay. So. I forgot that the NXT title was going to be there.
Yeah.
So that makes sense then, that the Four Horsewomen thing might happen, since all the girls are going to be there.
Well, all three rosters are going to be in attendance.
Yeah.
Well, possibly even four with the UK brand coming over.
True. I don't know if it'll be like completely established, though, but it'll be there, right? Maybe just a drop here and there.
There's so many different elements we could have in this that we're almost going to have to wait till after Hell in a Cell to see what they're going to develop.
Well, yeah, my only prediction is that I sure hope they have something with the Four Horsewomen, because otherwise I think they're dropping the ball. They have to. Like, they have to.
The hardest thing when it comes to booking, and that's why I can't stand the WWE guys, is you gotta find a nice happy medium of teasing people for what they want,
yep.
And just as they're sending over the cliff of despair, they're not gonna see it, bring them back and have it. I hate to bring up guys in this podcast, but that's what happened with Roman Reigns. Everybody just, they waited too long to do anything with him, and now nobody cares.
Well, and that's kind of why.
And I don't want that with this case.
No, we don't. I mean, especially now that they're all there, and they're all wrestling, and they're doing, like, house shows and stuff, like the NXT girls. And, like, obviously Shayna's the champion, so she's there all the time. But there's no better time than the present. Especially when, I think the one girl, oh my god, I keep drawing a blank, but she's injured right now, so one of the MMA girls I think is injured, but I don't think it's serious, she'll be fine. Even if it's like a tag match, they can hide that injury. But regardless, like, all of them are healthy, all of them are here, why not do it? Like, that's, like, just capitalize on Ronda's hype and the Four Horsewomen thing before they turn heels again. But that's the thing, like, with big matches like that, because everybody knows they're all friends. All four girls on each side of the, like, the match here, they all know they're friends in real life, kayfabe that. Do it now before they start to turn on each other, and maybe some of the girls don't want to wrestle after this, I don't know, but...
Or maybe they turn on each other at that show.
Who knows,
but...
You gotta do it, though, and like you said, it'll set up really nice for Survivor Series if they want to capitalize. Like I said, no better time than the present.
Absolutely, and... You also have to remember that injuries do happen, and everybody's relatively healthy at that point.
You need to, yeah. Especially with eight different variables. Eight. There's eight people in this match. You need to have all eight, otherwise it doesn't work. They're all healthy. They're all good to go. They're in their primes right now. Just do it. And the hype is there.
Absolutely.
The hype is definitely there. Whew. Talking way too much.
Well, let's take it to a commercial break here. We'll be right back and... Are we going into the SummerSlam preview?
We are.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about SummerSlam. I love it.
We'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Spencer Love, your host of Over the Top Rope on the Win Column Sports Network. Don't forget, you can head to wincolumnsports.ca for all of your previews, reviews, and breaking news from the world of wrestling, be it your major promotions or from the great province of Alberta, Canada.
This is your main man, RJ, from the Ringside Rant, heard only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So go over and subscribe across all your major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher to hear every great interview I have every Monday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over and follow the show's page on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. Follow the network's page at BizWrestleNet. And, as always, embrace the vision.
If you like podcasts and you are listening to our Backbreaker Media, then you should listen to me, Chris Parrish.
And myself, Manoyan.
And the Sounds of Struggle. Because we are literally the most entertaining duo you'll ever come across in Western Canadian wrestling, baby.
We talk about things like wrestling.
And other sports we like.
Like wrestling.
But we won't talk about other sports that we don't like. Because it's not that kind of podcast.
Like wrestling.
I mean, we like hockey.
And wrestling.
And we like football.
And wrestling.
And we also like to drink beer.
While wrestling.
Well, not while wrestling, but while watching wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to get into a conversation with Maniac and Chris Parrish, then you need to tune into the Sounds of Struggle live on Backbreaker Media.
Every Thursday.
That's when we hope to draw, but sometimes Mike Malawaini doesn't do his job right.
Or we're too drunk to forget.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah.
He can bleep out the swear word, because we weren't supposed to do that.
Oh,
but
I'll try not to swear. Ah, I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's face it. The two of us, we're real.
And spectacular.
And we're a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
We're also struggle-licious.
That we are.
That was kind of a cute, supposed to be a struggle-licious.
Oh, sorry, I'm trying.
If you don't want to listen to us, then no! You're stupid because we're entertaining. And if you want to listen to us, then come listen to us on Backbreaker Media.
Yeah,
later,
he said.
Later, bitches!
All right, guys. So we're back to talk about SmackDown and kind of SummerSlam and everything leading into it from...
Well, SmackDown's part of SummerSlam.
Yeah, well, I guess. But I meant SummerSlam in general in regards to Raw, SmackDown, and NXT and what's happening with the women there. So first I want to talk about Raw. So obviously, if you didn't know, you might be under a rock, but who knows. So it's going to be Ronda versus Alexa at SummerSlam for the Raw Women's title. So what are your initial thoughts on this whole feud?
Well, this feud here, I think, took a real turn for what I think it was going to be this past Sunday, Monday, with the passing of Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yes.
As people know, Natty was a big part of this feud as
as
the trainer slash good friend of Ronda Rousey. I had a feeling before that Natty was going to turn on Ronda at the pay-per-view.
That's what I had written down next, was like, what's Natty's role going to be? Because that was actually my prediction. Because I have a feeling Ronda might win it now. Because I think Natty was going to probably be the only reason Ronda didn't. Because she has all the momentum in the world. Why is she not going to win it, right?
Absolutely. I think there can be no way that Ronda doesn't win it right now. Because... Mm-hmm. You have Bliss here getting out of things so many different ways, and just...
Yes.
If she keeps doing that, that belt's going to start losing credibility.
Well, and I think that's why... It hasn't really been talked about. I don't know if Natty will be at the pay-per-view. I feel like she will be, but I don't know anymore, because I feel like as soon as she shows up, everybody's going to think about her dad. And that's all they're going to maybe focus on. So I don't know if they're going to bring Natty back into that role. If they do bring her back, have her go full out heel on Ronda. Let her go.
I could see her coming back the night after.
The night, okay. So
on the Raw after, when Ronda becomes the champ, Natty comes back and just, you didn't really care about me. You didn't care about my dad. Yeah, yeah. I could see, as classless as I find that is at times, I could see that happening for WWE when it comes to the Raw Women's Division there.
Well, and that's the only negative I really have if Ronda won, was the fact that where is she going to go after that?
Well,
she's already at the top. She's skyrocketed in the last, 5 months. They already put her... If they're going to put the title on her, it makes sense because she has the credibility. essentially. But at the same time, does she have enough experience to, quote-unquote, carry a division? That's my question.
What I think right now is mainly you can do a lot of PR work with her and get her out there. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to do a lot of matches as champion, as we see with another champion in WWE right now. But Ronda can get involved in a feud and doesn't necessarily have to wrestle a whole lot, even though her skills have developed quite a bit since she started training right now.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have to get exposed in long matches. It's the Goldberg syndrome. Just get her in. Get her in for a quick match if you want. Get her out. Move on. A woman like Natty will be able to work her through a bunch of matches that they could actually carry that feud. I can't see her losing at Hell in a Cell because it's as
Ronda,
close.
Yeah.
It's as close to an octagon as you're going to get in WWE.
So. Well, and I don't think they would put her in a gimmick match like that yet. Like, I don't think that she would be able to.
I totally think they would.
I don't think Hell in a Cell, though. I could see, like, Steel Cage. Not Hell in a Cell, though.
What I could see is them putting her in a Hell in a Cell and just not having any interaction with the cage.
True, yeah.
It's one of those matches that you don't see the cage becoming a huge factor in it. But at the same time, it gives you that feel that she is in a cage.
True, yeah, it's like kind of like, this is my element, oh, I have this over you. But I'll give Alexa Bliss, oh my god. I'm not the biggest fan of her. I just never really have been, so I don't want to be biased. But I'm not a huge fan of Ronda either, so it's not like it's really biased. But she, I'll give her credit, she has done a really good job playing that chicken heel against Ronda.
Her mic skills are on par with some of the best right now in WWE. And I want to give I have to give podcast shout-outs. That's one of the things I do
when I'm on.
The How To Wrestling podcast, I just literally listened to the How To Trish Stratus episode.
I haven't listened to it yet.
Essentially, the How To Wrestling podcast is a very well-known podcaster, Kevin Mann, who runs the Attitude Era podcast. They covered all the Attitude Era pay-per-views. Teaching his girlfriend about wrestling, going through different scenarios, and one of the episodes they did is How To Trish Stratus, covering some of her early matches, her early career, and some of the things she had to go through. I see a lot of parallels between Alexa Bliss and Trish Stratus, with the main difference being, at this time of the development, Alexa Bliss having a lot better mic skills than what Trish did in her time.
I don't know, because I feel when Trish was heel, that was when she was at a 10 in terms of mic skill. Like, especially when I think back to when she just tortured Lita, just torturing her. Like,
But you gotta remember, that was also 3 years in. 3 to 4 years in.
Well, TNA, yeah, I guess.
TNA was always out first, right? In all their lovely little escapades.
Yes. But when she was, like, by herself torturing Lita, though, that's when she was at her prime. Even when she was as a face. I just think of when she was with against Mickey, because she was technically the face in that, but everybody wanted Mickey to win because Mickey was just crazy, she grabbed your attention, right?
Let's cheer for the crazy stalker.
Yeah, because she's hilarious and just different. But anyways, it's true. I don't buy, and this is where it gets me with her when she talks about how she can't. Her biggest criticism is that she doesn't know how to put people over in the ring, right? Is what I've noticed, and I've kind of noticed as well, in terms of when she wrestles people, she kind of buries them. We look at Bayley. Her career has not revived, and it's been almost a year since she lost the title to Bliss. And then I hear her Alexa do interviews, and she kind of talks about how, like, oh, I can't do this kind of stuff in the ring because I'm a heel, and I'm like, really? Like, I don't think so. Like, you can still make people hate you, but if you don't do that stuff.
I think Bayley's a bit of an exception to the rule on this one, because let's go back to Extreme Rules last year.
Yeah.
When you put them in a match where they have to use a weapon and she refuses to use the weapon, that's not on Alexa.
Well, yeah, it's like, it kind of makes me wonder, though, like, well, even just like you talk about This Is Your Life's, like, segment. I know Alexa obviously didn't, like, come up with that all of a sudden. But there's a lot of, I don't know.
There are many ways to bury a wrestler. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Well, and you look at, she just doesn't have the best track record of, like, when she's beaten people, and they haven't really done anything. Like, you look at Becky. Once Becky lost the title to Alexa, she was barely on TV. And then you look at when Sasha lost the title after 6 days to Alexa, and she hasn't done anything since. She hasn't had a title match since she lost it pretty much almost exactly a year ago. So it's like, you look at stuff like that, and I'm like, they're not doing Alexa any favors.
No, they're not.
Like, the poor girl's getting a bad rap, and I know it's not really her fault, but they're not doing her any favors. Like,
there are a lot of wrestlers here not getting favors out of the booking department. When we go over to SmackDown, I guarantee you there's one we're going to be talking about here in a moment.
Okay, so we'll wrap up Ronda and Alexa. Who do you think is going to win?
I think it's going to be Ronda.
Okay, I have a feeling Ronda's going to win now, too. Now, especially now with the whole Natty thing, I think Ronda's going to go away with it. But I also wanted to bring out one more thing with Raw, is the fact that they put the brakes on Sasha versus Bayley, and then everyone's like, oh, they're going to do the tag match with the Riot Squad. But it's Tuesday, SmackDown's over now, all, like, pretty much everything's set in stone for the weekend, and there's no Sasha Bayley on SummerSlam at all. What do you think?
I think there's 13 matches on the card.
Yep.
That's quite a bit, and you don't want to go... Well, right now they have, what, three till... Sorry, this is Alberta time, or Mountain Standard time. We got 3 p.m. is the kickoff show. They got three matches, plus they got another 9 or 10 on the main card.
Yeah.
You just don't have room for a storyline that isn't developed the way it really should have.
The thing. It was going in that direction up until about 3 weeks ago.
And then I really wonder what hit the brakes on it.
Well, and it was getting a lot of attention. Like, you look at all, like, the YouTube videos, they were getting, like, a few million views each, and I'm like, wow, people are interested, they're intrigued, and all of a sudden, they're okaze again. But I'm like, even if they kind of fixed their friendship, quote-unquote, they could have still had, like, a really good match. And I'm kind of bitter about it, that they put the brakes on it yet again, especially when it was gonna be, like, the anniversary of their NXT title match. 3 years. Like, 3 years since then. So it kind of bums me out, just because I'm a fan of both, but
This could be the last year. It's in Brooklyn, too, so...
Exactly. It would have been no better time.
And I just think that when it comes to this feud, either they're going to have to pull the trigger on it, or both competitors are going to get released from the company. As much as I hate with... Bayley and Sasha are marketing gems.
Oh, guaranteed,
but
yeah.
At the same time, if you're not going to do anything with them, you're going to lose talent, because they're going to want to get out of there and they're going to want to perform.
Well, it's like, did you see the look on Bayley's face the entire time? Did you watch that match when Sasha faced Ruby?
Yeah.
Bayley's face the entire time was like, I don't know if she was doing that on purpose, but she just looked not impressed. Sasha did not look impressed at all. So it almost looked like they gave him bad news right before that match started. So I'm like, I don't know, because they both looked not impressed. I don't know if, like I said, they were just doing it, you know, storyline-wise, but...
Well, how many times do you have to face Absolution?
Exactly.
Or the Riot Squad, sorry.
Yeah, well, both, kind of, but it's just kind of...
Interchangeable parts, sorry.
Exactly. And it's like, don't get me wrong, Ruby and Sasha have great in-ring chemistry, but at the same time, what are they fighting for?
Like, you can put on, like, great matches, but if you're going to put on the same match over and over again and not have any... consequence.
There's no payoff, like, at all. And it really kind of, like, there could have been matches on that card that didn't need to happen, that could have happened in place. And it just kind of makes me a little mad that they don't have even a kickoff match against them. I'm like, that's so, like, especially since it seemed like they were going in that direction heavy after the last pay-per-view, and then just stop. So what are they going to do? And the only thing I can think is that they needed to keep them for this whole Four Horsewoman thing.
Possibly, but that isn't going to start off until after SummerSlam anyway, so it sort of defeats the point if you ask me.
Exactly. And that's why it's like, unless they bring in these tag titles, but if they're barely booking them great as it is, I don't want to see the tag titles if they're not going to put some seriousness into it.
And they have 3 hours to do it. That's the most frustrating part.
Like, you put them on at 1:45 when the whole show is going to finish, and it's like, oh, for God's sakes.
Ugh. Sorry, folks, I'm thinking about beer right now.
It's like, not good. Okay, SmackDown. We gotta talk about SmackDown.
Well, at least SmackDown, they got a decent teaser storyline here with Carmella, Becky, Charlotte.
Yes, and that's, so I was never a huge fan of Carmella. Like, I appreciated her talent when she puts people, like, she looked great, don't get me wrong. But since she's became champ, I've become more invested in SmackDown. She just brings, like, a different, like, I don't want to, like, no pun intended, but she brings a different flair to that division. Like, maybe not more attention in terms of, like, wrestling, but she makes me interested because she is just entertaining.
Well, if you watch SmackDown tonight, which would be yesterday in the real podcast world here,
yeah,
you saw the promo where Charlotte told Carmella she is a diva in a women's wrestling world.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of an insult. Well, big insult right
to
now.
To Carmella? It's not an insult. She knows that's what she is.
Exactly, and I like that she owns it. They allow her to own that title right now, and that's what I like. Instead of her being like, what are you talking about, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I like that. Own it.
Every wrestler has to have something that makes her unique, and that's what's good. She's basically turning into what Eva Marie should have been in more of a sense. They tried to over-glamorize her, and it ended up costing her. Carmella, her talent is 10 times what Eva Marie was.
I was just about to say, I'd rather watch a Carmella match 100 times over than one Eva Marie match. For sure.
Absolutely.
And but, at least Carmella's... I didn't really watch much of Eva Marie when she was on TV. But Carmella, like, her mic skills are great.
Oh, absolutely.
I think they're fantastic.
This eventually should have been what Eva Marie was.
Yeah.
Or
what they wanted her to be.
And that mostly that's over, but I don't think that would ever happen either. But I digress.
And that's kind of like, I'm glad. I was a little annoyed when they added Charlotte, but I feel like it'll just add more tension into whatever they're leading up to for the women's pay-per-view.
Well, also you have the typical stereotypical format of a WWE triple threat match.
Yeah.
It gives them a chance for Carmella to get out of the ring and
be like, okay, you two, fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the way the typical one goes. They talk about how the champion's at a disadvantage. Then it ends up being 5 minutes of each wrestler hiding outside the ring as the other two go at it. So
I'm, in terms of result, I'm torn now. Before Charlotte was added, I'm like, okay, this is Becky's moment. She's got to win that title. You add Charlotte, and I'm like, well, now I don't think either of them are going to win. I think Carmella's going to retain. Somehow. But I think it'll be kind of like one of the two making it pretty clear that they're going to win, and Carmella sneaks in there.
I think it's going to be Carmella by Becky finishing off Charlotte with a Bexploder or something.
Something, yeah.
And then just knocking her out of the ring and getting the cover.
On Charlotte.
And she's going to... And that's going to send Becky over the edge.
I'm waiting for it. I'm so excited. Like, so excited to see it if it happens.
Like, frankly, with Becky Lynch's gimmick of, you know, all the puns and whatnot.
Yeah.
I could see her pulling the whole Ned Flanders going insane mode here.
She has, like, a different intensity, and all she needs to do is change the way her face looks, and you're like, whoa, okay, she's mad, she's, you know, like, she's amazing. So
absolutely.
You even just look at... I was comparing this the other day to when she and Sasha teamed up in NXT in their early days. They were so good. Like, so good. And, like, Becky played heel very well. I don't think people realize that because she hasn't been heel once since she got called up. So I think her time is here. But I don't think they'll pull the trigger until after the whole Four Horsewomen thing goes over.
Yeah.
If it does happen, of course. But in terms of that, yeah, I think Carmella's retaining.
Yeah. Somehow she's going to keep it, and we're going to find a new challenger for her here somehow. But yeah. the title's not going to be the focus of the women's division on SmackDown for the next few months, which might not necessarily be a bad thing.
Well, and that's like when it kept getting rumored after Charlotte got added. It was seeing like, oh, they're going to make it now a Fatal 4-Way, and I kept seeing that Asuka's name was being thrown in. But then that's where you come in, where you heard happened with Asuka.
There was a backstage reports, rumors going around that actually Asuka potentially might have pulled an Adrian Neville and possibly walked out on the booking of herself on SmackDown. Rumors persist that she wasn't impressed on what happened to her after she lost the streak, and how she lost the title involving James Ellsworth, which, let's face it, we can't blame her one bit.
No.
For those were some of the most crappiest book. Yes, I know perfect English here, but those were some of the worst bookings I've seen in a while. That's almost like 2010 TNA type booking there, which is yikes. I think is the best way to put it.
It was I think it made a lot of people mad. I mean, they could have done it right, but they didn't clearly. If it was a fatal four way though, that would have I would have been a little bit more excited, and I feel like it would have been Asuka's time to finally win it. You just add in the other dimensions, right?
Well,
I wouldn't have been mad if she got added, if I'm honest.
It's taking, once again, you can take away the focus from Becky and Charlotte from the from the women's title and focus on this potential tag that we keep talking about here. And stuff just keeps writing itself. Asuka can fight somebody else for the championship. There's plenty of women in that division that could step up here at this point, so.
Well, it's like now that it's, if Carmella wins, if she retains, I don't know who she's going to fight next. Naomi? But Naomi's been off TV forever. Like, I don't know what that poor girl's doing.
Well, that might be a point to bring her in here. And
yeah.
We still got Hell in the Cell to get through all the way to Evolution here, so who knows what's going to happen here at this point.
This is, you're not wrong. But yeah, I'm still going to go with Carmella. I don't know what they're going to do after, but I mean, now I just don't know. This is the first time in forever. I just don't know. I just hope it's not Charlotte. I hope it's not because, oh God.
If it's Charlotte stealing a pin from Becky, I won't mind that.
Okay, if it heads into something there. It kind of seems like they are, but maybe that's too obvious.
Well, they teased Becky and Sasha forever, and then it turned into nothing, so.
Oh, Bailey, Sasha? Yeah, that's true.
Bailey, Sasha, myself.
Let's say everybody keeps saying they're giving Becky and Charlotte the storyline that Bailey, Sasha wanted to do now.
Pretty much.
Which is really sad. I mean, because they 100% committed to it, so who knows what they're doing now. Okay, so the other one that the women are in is Andrade, Cien Almas, and Zelina Vega versus Rusev and Lana. In the kickoff, I believe.
Yeah, this is one of the three kickoff matches that they have prior to the main show. I got a feeling that this might be Rusev's last hurrah.
Ooh, seriously, okay.
Yeah, this is more about Rusev and Aiden English potentially going into a card with themselves here, or a storyline with themselves after the somewhat interference keep costing matches for Lana on consecutive weeks. This match could go either way, but I got a feeling Rusev's going to go heel after it.
Okay.
As much as we want to keep him as the good guy, the face, the Rusev Day everybody's cheering for, when Rusev is at his best, he's basically one of those guys that's vicious and wants to attack, riding a tank into a stadium. So I don't see that intensity anymore, and I think they need to flip him to get that back. Your thoughts?
You know, I never really watched Andrade when he was on NXT, but him and Zelina, I love them. Like, lately, the last few weeks, I've just been, like, enthralled with what they're doing. I want to know what they're doing. I texted you about this when this match happened because I was a little annoyed. But Zelina Vega is a great wrestler, okay? And when she faces Lana, I just cringed. Not for Zelina, but because of Lana. And I'm sorry, but Zelina, like, I don't know if they're going to put her in the actual, like, women's division eventually and kind of put her in that scene. But I hope they keep her and Andrade together if she does and they kind of feed off of each other and whatever because I love them together. But I just think she needs to be in matches with people who are great wrestlers. And I'm sorry, Lana, I know you try, but you're not there yet.
I think that based on the experience of it, I've seen Zelina Vega, Thea Trinidad, her former name.
Yeah.
Watching her on the indie scene, she can work with workers that aren't on her level.
Yeah.
It's just there needs to be a certain standard for it to be a high-quality match.
Yeah.
I think they can disguise any of Lana... Lana's got some talent, but...
Yeah.
Any of her shortcomings, I think they can disguise in a match like this. Because I got a feeling that the women's interaction is going to be a lot less than what the men's interaction is going to be in this matchup.
Especially if English is going to get involved and it's going to lead to something there.
Yeah, here's hoping that something comes out of it meaningful.
Yeah. But
I almost think that they're just having this match set up here so that Lana and Rusev can get their big Lana Day, Rusev Day chance out. So.
Well, I think Zelina and Andrade will win. But I think they will get the Lana and Rusev will essentially get the less laugh. I don't know if it's against them or if it's with Aiden, but I think it'll be against Aiden.
Very well could be. So either way, I think this will be a decent match to kick things off.
Especially with those two, because I find them the girls really entertaining. Except, like I said, not really with Lana's wrestling, but whatever.
When you break up the action and go into the promo part of it, and the action part of it, not the wrestling part.
Yeah.
Very entertaining on both sides. And Vega, she can do it all.
I love her. I just want to see her in a legit match, though.
Like, absolutely.
A legit match. And I don't think we've seen it for a long time.
Could you see her challenging for that women's title?
Next? Or just in general?
Well, could be next.
Yeah, I totally see it. I feel like I don't know if Carmella would have to go face or whatever, but I feel like if something happens and Carmella retains, so on and so forth, I don't see her staying away from that title for very long. Who else is gonna be there?
Touché. It could be...
Yeah, there's nobody other, like, single kind of competitors that would, like, vie for that title that are face. Well, Zelina's not face, but, like, the other teams, there you got, like, the Iconics, and then you have Absolution, so...
Or if you bring Caitlyn up right after the...
Oh, ooh, that's a thought. But that's not for a long time. There's 2 months in between SummerSlam and that, so...
Yeah, but if you give it a couple weeks, the first episodes are coming out on the first week of September.
Yeah, so whenever she...
The week before Hell in a Cell, she can come out.
That's true, because I don't see Caitlyn, like, going past round two.
Well,
so
the only thing that isn't going to be up, I believe, is the final.
Yeah.
So everything's going to be knocked out. If she's in the final, she can challenge for the women's title and for the Mae Young Classic.
I like your thinking. There's Carmella's... Because Caitlyn's great on the mic.
She's great on the mic, and the match is a rather interesting dichotomy of styles.
Oh, definitely. Complete opposites. So...
It could be bowling shoe ugly, or it could be great, one or the other.
I think it would just be really entertaining, because they both have crazy personalities.
Exactly.
So that would be, there's a thought right there, out of nowhere, just a thought. I would watch it, I would buy that match.
Or if you want to get a pop, if you brought it into New Jersey, or someplace where ROH is a bit of a territory.
Okay.
Bring in Deonna Purrazzo.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, I'm down for that.
But any of these Mae Young competitors have the potential to get into this...
Especially, yeah, in that area, you need to. Oh, now yeah. I just thought of that, and I'm like, yeah, we gotta have that. That makes me so happy.
But speaking of call-ups and bringing up, we still got one more brand to talk about here.
Okay, NXT. You have something to say about Shayna and her booking.
Well, right now, Shayna Baszler, they're booking Shayna into a corner here right now.
Yeah.
She's been champion, she's been ripping people apart. They're showing right now that Kairi Sane has no fear,
yep.
Which is the right way to go with it. But if Sane does not win it here, who's Baszler going to face?
There's nobody.
They're turning Baszler into Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing if they haven't realized that yet.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I really don't. I think that maybe she will lose the title and then have her rematch maybe at Evolution, and then that kind of would lead to some other things. But at the same time, I have no idea. I hope, like, if someone's going to dethrone her, I would have hoped it would have been Candice LeRae or Kairi Sane.
I think it's going to be Sane, but with the assistance of a Candice LeRae.
Because...
When you have somebody who comes out and talks crap about everybody on the roster, you might have the entire roster come out and say, no, no, you're not getting away with this. And all the women could be out there and causing havoc for Baszler, where yeah. she has to just succumb to the insane elbow.
Well, and that's why I would hope... See, it kind of like leads into the... Because the only way I see the other MMA girls being, I guess, shown on TV or maybe introduced is through Shayna. So she kind of needs to be in the title picture. So I don't know what they would do, but I don't see any other way they're going to introduce those girls.
I have a real crazy theory about this.
Okay.
The night before Survivor Series, there was a little match that's called War Games.
Mm.
Which involves two rings in a cage.
So a women's War Game?
I could see them having two War Games matches. One female, one male.
Austin doesn't like it very much, apparently. My dog, he does not like that idea.
Well, I think he's just scared of the fact there's a kennel match.
A kennel match?
It could be a kennel. I thought of the kennel from Hell match, and it scared me. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's one of the worst matches in WWE history. Bringing up history and all that lovely, great stuff.
I feel like they're going to book themselves straight into a corner unless they do something where she does beat Sane and Candace comes out, because I only see... Candace reminds me so much of, like, the Bailey feel, but not as naive, because she has, like a crazy, like, intensity about her, especially when it came to, like, Gargano and stuff. I would hope, like, I feel like she has a lot of credibility to do that, to win the title, but obviously she's not in that match, obviously. But, I don't know, I kind of want to see a new champ. I'm sorry, Shayna, you're getting a little stale.
Well, has the Ray already lost to Baszler a couple weeks ago on a TV taping?
Yeah, I was going to say on a TV taping, though, I think.
Yeah, but still, that takeovers happen once every 3 months. So.
Yeah. Well, and I know they've been doing, like, a bunch of house show things, I think, the two of them,
yeah.
for a little while. So but I would just want to see, I don't know.
You know what, if Baszler retains, if they can find some way to get LeRae back in there, I'd still be willing to ride that train a little bit, but you're running out of credible superstars in NXT to take on yeah. Baszler if you're going to keep having to roll over all these opponents. Like, look what they did with
Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
Smack Nikki Cross.
We forgot.
Oh, hell yeah, I love her.
there's a potential she could be on SmackDown.
Well, she was at the, she's been doing house shows with Becky. Tagging with her, but then she was also at the unveiling, I guess, essentially, of Evolution yeah. on Raw. She was there, so they're not hiding the fact that she's been on the main roster shows, but she would be so cool if she won that title, but yeah. then she's already been doing main roster stuff, so what's the point of having her on NXT? I think she's outgrowing it, if I'm honest.
No, let's back it up about half an hour here, and let's talk about Carmella's next opponent.
Because she's technically, like, face, right? Technically.
She's whatever they want her to be at this point.
Yeah.
It's open-ended because a lot of people don't realize, a lot of people that watch WWE programming don't watch NXT.
That's so true, yeah.
When she comes out, she can be the nice psychopath or she can be the mean psychopath.
I feel like she's just going to be herself, and people will love her.
Folks, let's face it, nice psychopath, mean psychopath, that's a whole different podcast in itself. So.
I think, out of anybody, I think they've got to just have someone fresh for her if Carmella wins.
And I honestly think that...
Go over there. Jesus. Come here. Do you want to talk? Come here.
This is going to be part of the outtake show.
Woof, woof. What do you got to say?
And this is Austin the dog standing in front of the mic.
What are you going to say? Now he has nothing to say. He's shy. He's like whining before. Anyways. Nikki Cross. That would be really interesting to see. Can you go away? What is wrong with you? Why are you so...
Austin.
We've been ignoring him for too long is clearly what he's telling us.
So I think that's telling us that, yeah.
It's time to wrap it up. But yeah, no, I like your thoughts. Completely forgot about Nikki. I think that, because people love her in NXT, like, she's crazy. Like, I love her. In more ways than another, she's crazy, but that would be really interesting. If she, I don't think she'd beat Carmella, obviously, but it would give an interesting storyline for the next, like, well, month or so, right, if she came out.
It's an easy way to transition over to a face to a heel, if you want. Mm-hmm. Somebody like Nikki.
Well, and can you just imagine, like, the segments her and Carmella would have? That's the thing that I'm laughing thinking about already. Like, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, so we could go wide open with that. We hope that the Baszler-Shane match goes really well as well. And
yeah,
the only thing we're really worried about is where does the booking go from here?
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Where it's like, if Baszler does retain, it would be... I just don't know where they would go because she's kind of beat everybody. And are they going to introduce a brand new person for her to face that has, like, really no credibility at the moment? I don't know.
If you're going to do that, NXT's the place to do it.
Yeah, I guess. Because people get behind, like, the wrestling as long as you're good, right? But, when was the last time the NXT Women's title got changed in Brooklyn? Was that Bayley?
I believe that was Bayley Sasha, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know, then. I think Baszler will probably just retain.
Unfortunately, I see that, but I also see... I can see the underdog story of Sane winning as well, but the money's got to go on Baszler right now.
Especially if they want to have her at Evolution in a match, that she's got to have the title.
I would think so. You know, they could have... They could have her in that Four Horsewomen segment. And that's all that she needs to be.
Well, that's why I think that if they do that, that tag match with Bayley, Sasha, and then Charlotte, Becky will have to close the show because they can't have them on there before. And Ronda runs out before her match because I'm assuming she's going to be in that Raw Women's Title match at Evolution. Like she's they've got to have it as the main event. Unless they open the show, that's the only other thing I could think of, but that's the main event right there. It'll be the best, like, legit wrestling match of the night.
Absolutely.
Because, like, you just look at how well all of them do together, add into a tag match. I don't think it's been done since... Well, that combination has never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
So, with Becky and Charlotte on the same team versus Sasha Bailey, it'll be interesting.
Very interesting, to say the least.
I want it to happen. All right. That's all for predictions. Any closing thoughts?
Make sure you check out NXT TakeOver as well as SummerSlam coming up this weekend. Those in the Edmonton area, you can join me and Wind Column Sports expertise Spencer Love at Beercade just off White Avenue 106 Street. I'm trying to convince, you know, the host of this show to be there as well, but...
I wrestle the night before, so I'm missing TakeOver, so I'm going to have to spoil myself during, but I won't be able to watch TakeOver live. I'll watch it maybe the next morning, but we'll see. We'll see if I'm not dead or, like, so, my body's breaking. I might come.
Well, speaking of performing, where are you going to be this week?
My twin / whatever Envy's wrestling for RCW on Saturday. I'll have to, like, link the times because I'm really bad. My memory's terrible.
That's why.
Too many concussions.
That's why you got me here.
Yes, okay, you probably know. You remember this stuff.
Envy will be at the Royal Canadian Legion downtown this Thursday, taking on Kaya March. We've heard a lot of good things out of just recently wrestled Angelica in the last...
Angelica? Who is that girl? I haven't wrestled her in a long time.
Yeah.
She's still around. No, I'm just kidding. I'm bugging you.
just wrestled her in Lethbridge with PPW. But that's going to be at the Calgary Downtown Legion, start time 7:45. With another card going on Friday as well as part of the Smith Art Memorial Show that weekend. And then Saturday at the... I think it's the St. James Cultural Center, St. John's Cultural Center downtown, yeah. 106th Street and 110th Avenue. Start time, doors at 7 o'clock, show 7:45. It's going to be the rematch from Calgary.
Yeah.
So I expect good things out of that. And then
TBD, to be determined.
I'm sure we have our number one fan of the podcast already, the man also known as Pride, who I do believe is
in the
main...
Who's that? I haven't met that guy. Who is that guy?
He's a creep, if you ask me. The match, besides the women's match that I'm looking forward to, Pride versus Epic Eddie Rude. That is going to be a barn burner, folks.
Yeah, Envy might be there, too. Did you know that?
Envy's having the rematch with Kaya.
No, but she may be out there for that match, too. Who knows?
Oh, God, I hope not. She scares me.
She scares me, too. I don't know who that is.
I swear to goodness, everybody keeps asking me to go check out what that paint is she has and what the face looks like. And guys, check out CWC Evolution if you want to hear my thoughts on that. So...
Oh, she's great.
Well,
I don't know who she is, but she's great.
Either way, let's talk about you. Let's put you over. How can people get a hold of you?
So Twitter and Instagram is Kayla Jamies with an S at the end. Everybody always forgets the S.
You can check us out. I'm personally at Mike the Ref on Twitter. Check us out at facebook.com/backbreakermedia. I am going to be coming up with Twitter and Facebook for the show here in the next few days. We just literally thought together that we got to get this podcast going, and hopefully you guys have enjoyed the first episode, so make sure you send us your comments, send us your thoughts. This is KJ's show. Thanks for coming out to our...
No, you're the boss. I have to, like... I'm just kidding.
No, you're the boss.
No, we needed to do this today because I'm going to Calgary to wrestle, so we have to do it today. We're lucky that we caught the beginnings of SmackDown earlier.
Absolutely.
Thank God they put the women out first.
Well, all I can say is we are planning on having another episode, folks. So if you want us to talk about something, let us know. Because we're definitely more than willing to have questions and responses. If you shoot us a text.
Well, you can text us.
Shoot us a DM. If contact us on Facebook, if you want anything specific talked about. And I'm sure we can tackle it.
Yeah, we'll be talking about SummerSlam next week, the results.
Absolutely. And
all the happenings.
And just remember, folks, this is KJ's podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to Double Down Wrestling. We talk about all women's wrestling. I love it.
So, how are we going to wrap this up?
Thanks for listening to me. I like to talk about myself and Mike.
You do realize I'm not editing that part out, right?
Mike's the best. Mike the Ref is the best. There's your outro.
No.
Anyways, thanks for listening to us talk.
We will see you next time, and make sure any false finishes lead to a great double down.
Boom. There we go.